Welcome back, venturers, to another flavor-blasted episode of Venture Maidens. Before we dive in, I want to share some news. If you are headed to Gen Con this year, August 2023, make sure to stop by and say hi! I, Celeste Konowich, your humble GM, will be there with Cobalt Press this year, so make sure to swing by the Cobalt Press booth in the exhibitor hall, say hey, or check out one of the many events I'll be participating in. If you haven't heard the word, I'm the lead designer on Cobalt Press's Tales of the Valiant project, which is a new TTRPG that reimagines D&D 5th edition. That huge project has everyone at Cobalt Press, obviously, super excited, so check the Gen Con schedule to check out all the various TOV panels, live playtest games, and more that I'll be participating in, and are open to attendees like you. So that's the scoop! So as always, let's say a big ol' thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song, to Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music, and an extra special thank you to the patrons who donate each month to the Venture Maidens Patreon. Now, more than ever, your support means the world to us. Alright, I'm gonna hit you with a recap of what happened last time, then we'll dive right into a fresh new ep. Last time on Venture Maidens. Our maidens continued using their downtime to the fullest. They collectively made a plan for dealing with the Tsarina and the Blossom Court Sovereign, ultimately deciding to try and broker an equal alliance with both factions. With that decision out of the way, they prepared for the adventures to come. Rook went off to buy some new gear, Lou gained a patron, Aoife made a dress for the Tsarina, Tony learned some important information about Reynard, an animal lord with connections to help her bargain away the big favor hanging over her head. And that's what happened. So now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Off to the city of the dead to deal with the Empire's head. This and that they'll ask of the Queen, but what of threats lurking unseen? Let's make a deal as we head into favor, episode 37, Fragile Things, part 1.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Oh, boy. And what an episode we have for you today, because we're doing a two-parter. We're doing a big old two-parter because, boy, we got a lot to do. We've made some really big decisions last episode that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But yeah, it's all going to unfold today. Things are going to get real. It's going to get exciting. I'm excited. How are you all feeling? Are you ready for the big world shakingness to come?
Oh, my body is not ready.
Ooh. Ooh. A cold shiver.
Yeah. I'm ready, man. I will say I was very anti-level one, but I am feeling the heroic growth.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, as you all are leveling up, you know, the world, like, your influence is growing, spreading. You're dealing with royalty, man. It's getting real, but... yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit more, but I should say, hey, everybody, welcome. We're the Venture Maidens. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play stream that converts to a podcast. I should say this is a very adult-themed stream, so you can expect themes of graphic fantasy violence. In general, we keep like a body horror content warning up just to cover that. We don't anticipate any additional content warnings for today's episode, but you never know. Keep your eye on the chat and also in the show notes, just in case we do end up adding any changes there. We should also say that this show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy, so we're not approved or endorsed by Wizards of the Coast in any way. But yeah, that's it. That's the business. So we got a lot to do. Let's dive right in. Hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Konowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, my name is Katie, and I'm going to be playing Luveri Sath, your Drow Rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim, and I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Fitonia Silvertail.
And good evening! I'm Sage, and tonight I am your ready-to-bargain bard, Aoife Flannery.
Yes, let's make a deal! Yay! Because that's always gone so well in this campaign. Let's do it.
It's gone great for me. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, I mean...
You just gotta know the right fae.
Yeah, right? You know, just, I feel like it's getting better. Our deals are getting better. Our bargaining power is increasing as our level's increasing, which is right and natural. So congrats on making it this far, level 6. Yeah, but we're talking a lot about all the cool stuff that happened last time, so let's get into it. We had, you know, started off with that very big conversation that is going to guide basically the order of this episode. So you all had decided, hey, do we work with the Blossom Court Sovereign? Do we work with the Tsarina? Or do we try to negotiate something and work with them both to help us deal with whatever the hell Hecate is doing with the Enigma Codex? You all decided that you wanted to stick to the course and try the hardest path and broker some kind of alliance between these two factions that historically have never gotten along, do not understand each other. So we'll see how that goes. So step one of that plan.
We crave a challenge. That's what it is.
We love it. Nothing should be easy. It should always be so hard.
Life is suffering.
Yes. Embrace it, honey. So step one of this plan is meeting with the Tsarina. Step two is going to be hitting up this strange animal lord named Reynard and trying to get rid of that big old favor you owe, and then step three is going to be speak to the Blossom Court Sovereign. So this episode is dealing with step one of that plan. So last time, after you had made that decision, you all, Aoife, you had basically sent a letter to the Tsarina saying like, hey, yes, okay, let's do it, time and place, we need to talk, and that had come off. And so this episode is starting with you get that letter back. You all are probably like in the chicken hut, hanging out after doing, you know, all your downtime stuff from the last few episodes, when a golden envelope slides under the door in that strange way you get mail, and you can see like a bright like red seal that has a flower over like a plus sign style cross comes in under the door. So you all would immediately recognize the royal seal of the Eldred Empire.
Aoife runs to it immediately, like, like screaming.
Lou's, like, in the kitchen making, like, pancakes for everybody. And she's like, what the fuck? Aoife, inside voice!
And then she's, you know, she picks it up and she runs to the kitchen and she's just so excited. She just, like, picks it up and shows it too. And she's like, it's from the Tsarina! It's got her! I don't, she probably didn't write it, but it's from her! I bet it smells like her. She, like, lifts it up to her nose.
It smells nice, sort of like roses. You actually, you touch the envelope and the seal, like, dissolves at your touch. Specifically in a very magical and strange way, and you're like, this probably would not have been able to be opened by anyone except you. And so as this opens up, the paper actually starts to like kind of hover almost like above your hand, sort of like spins in the air, and you see golden script written across it, and it like almost lights up. It doesn't look like it's pen or anything on it, and you hear, rather than read on the page, the following. And I'm going to warn you now, I am not going to read this aloud again, so pay attention. Aoife, I was pleased to receive your latest message. I agree further correspondence should be conducted with the utmost discretion. To that effect, please pay attention and memorize the following. Tonight, just after sunset, you are to meet a representative named Sorin at the Cathedral of the Sun, located at the heart of the Acropolis, north of Phelan. Speak to her as you would speak to me, for she has the full weight and power of my own mind. She will recognize you by sight, but shall not speak until you greet her with the phrase, Sister, do you also walk in the twilight? And it is signed S. And as this voice has read out, which was the Serena's voice reading it to you, you see the gold lettering across the surface of it just like sparkles away and dissolves as the whole paper just turns into a pile of glitter on the ground.
Lou is just, like, standing there and, like, a big glop of batter just, like, falls under the counter. And she's like, what did it say? What are we doing? You remember it all, right? You have a photographic
memory?
Did
only I hear it?
Only you heard it, Aoife.
Oh!
It was like a sending, almost, but tied to a paper.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. And, yes, Aoife will recap that we have to go meet a woman named Sorin at the Acropolis, and we have a magic phrase that we get to use.
I hope you remember it. Word for word.
There wasn't a description of what she looked like.
No, she just said that she would recognize us, but she won't speak until we say, "Sister, do you also walk in the twilight?"
Right, yeah.
Tony was just in a room caring for her plants and comes out with, like, dirt-covered hands, like, "Where are we going? What's happened?"
"Well, we've got instructions for us to go and meet the Tsarina, finally."
"Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, at least go and meet an agent of the Tsarina, and then maybe the Tsarina." These things are so complicated.
"Important lady. Everybody should definitely eat a full breakfast." And she, like, starts pulling out all the plates and everything. And it looks like something that Aoife in particular would love on this important day. She's going to give you inspiration in these carrot cake pancakes with a maple cream cheese glaze.
Ooh, damn. Love that.
Delightful.
You have a few hours, most of the day actually, before you have to be where you need to be. So any preparations you want to make? You're still, I assume, pretty... Oh, you were in Coven, so it'll take you just a couple of hours to basically jump to this area north of Faelyn called the Acropolis. Any of you are welcome to make checks, if you would like, to see what you might know about the Acropolis. But I would take a history or a religion.
History for 13.
Aoife got an 18 on history.
Not gonna try. For Tony.
No, there's no point.
You good. You good. There's a bard. You would know that there is, like, a community... basically of buildings that's kept up on a hill a couple miles away from Faelyn to the north. It's an interesting amalgamation of buildings that are all different cathedrals, churches, temples, to gods specifically not dedicated to the mother or the father, which are like the Eldrin gods, you know, the state religion. Basically, the Acropolis was built sort of as a peace offering to all the other faiths of the people who live in the empire. It's also built a little bit closer to the Valley of Ylanthanol. It's like right in between, you know, where the valley starts and Faelyn actually sits. So it's meant to be like a, "Hi, look, we're embracing all religions and we built this really cool place." So it's like a big district full of these like grand cathedrals and churches and places of worship. Of course, you would also know, excellent history check, that when the gods disappeared, whatever that big cataclysmic event was that happened 10 years ago. Ever since then, things have not been great at the Acropolis. Obviously, a lot of those people felt betrayed by their gods, felt abandoned. So when a huge number of clerics and paladins of other gods lost their powers, like, there was rioting, there was destruction that happened to a lot of the Acropolis. So many of the buildings were defaced, relics stolen, like, there aren't a lot of people there now. So it's kind of a big, ugly stain on the Empire's history, and not a lot has been done so far to help restore that place to its former glory.
Very cool. All right, so definitely a assorted place now, apparently. Best be on our guard. In the meantime, while we are traveling over there, Aoife, I imagine over the course of the week while we've been working, would have sent a letter to the Tsarina's, like, consort in order to get her measurements so she could take in those dresses to get them perfectly tailored for her to bring as a gift to help start negotiations.
Hell yeah. Yes, certainly. You can, of course, have had that correspondence. I imagine you might have had a couple letters before this one, just establishing nice correspondence. This is the only one you've received mm-hmm. that had, like, real detailed information referring to the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You can absolutely get that. Honestly, you know, there's no such thing as, like, Google in this world, but the Tsarina's measurements would probably be pretty well known to, like, any seamstress worth their salt, right?
Yeah, she probably has, like, her few select, like, tailors and clothiers that she go to and would hit them up, be like, "Let me get those deets real quick."
You are certainly not the only person in the Empire who wants to make gifts and dresses for the Tsarina.
Naturally, yeah.
You get those measurements, and once again, you're like, "God damn.
Hell yeah. All right, cool. So you are packing up your gifts, I'm assuming putting them in the bag of holding.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we want to do or make sure we plan before we jump there?
I guess the one thing that I thought of right after we started was, I don't think that we ever came up with a plan if the question comes up of how are we getting back and forth to the Fey Realm.
Mm-hmm. That might be good to talk about.
Oh, like if they ask us?
Yeah, because we don't want to tell them about the chicken hut. So, I mean, do we just basically say that we're using, like, scrolls for planner travel or something like that, or...
I mean, I feel like the best policy is to leave it ambiguous as magic, because everyone in the Empire knows and is acquainted with magic. I don't think it's going to be a particular thing for them to be like, well, how are you getting there? Like, well, magic. They're magical means.
Yeah, like we have our own means. I'm sure they have their own means, honestly. It's not like they don't know how to get there.
I don't know. Do they? Because they kind of sit at the edge of...
I mean, people would... High-level mages would be familiar with teleportation circles and things like that and wouldn't be, like,
sure.
Out of this
I
world
I guess my only concern is that we are level 5. So how are we doing?
So... Planar travel, so travel between realms in the planes, is not very easy. There are, just because of the chaotic way the realms kind of work, there are some places that, like, yeah, studied mages and the Eldrin have absolutely learned, like, you want to go to the plane of fire? Hell yeah, we've got that on lock. Like, we know how to do that. Cool. But because the wilds themselves are so twisting and turning and chaotic, making a portal to go there is incredibly difficult and dangerous. So even though they, like, might be able to build a teleportation circle on the Empire's end, they have never been able to build a base inside. They have no idea what Coven is, right? They don't have, like, a home base to go to, like, establish a safe portal. All they know is most of the time people that go there never come back. And they don't know why, and they don't know how. We might know that maybe they turned into changelings. Maybe they were, like, destroyed by the environment, right? All of these horrible things that could happen to them. But the Empire sends people in, and they never come back. So they really have no reliable way to get there. So it's pretty damn remarkable that you all could do it, yeah.
I rescind my earlier statement.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, like... And we don't have to specifically point it to Rook being the one who showed us, but made a connection with someone who is able to go back and forth, who, like, showed us the well that we used to get to Coven, that mode of transportation.
Maybe, like, we have a person, but with the same respect that we would want to give you privacy with some information you're going to give us, we don't want to give their name. Is that sort of thing? All right, I just wanted to make sure, because if we... Or like, look at this hut. Rook is gonna be like, I'm gonna fucking kill you guys.
Like, what
I
hut?
Swear to God. I'm denying my everything. Rule. I don't know anything. Oh, yeah. So, and Rook, too, has just been kind of passively taking in all of this. She seems very, like, just nervous about the whole thing. And she said before, she's like, listen, I don't want to be part of this, whatever this conversation is. I realize this isn't my bag. I'm not great at this. So she is just, like, suiting up with weapons and, like, full, like, I'm going to be here and I'm just here to kill things and I can do no more than this. Please do not ask me to do any more than this. With that macabre certainty, she's just strapping on more and more daggers onto her body.
Accessory.
Big ol' knife.
And I don't have anything else.
All right. Anything from Tony?
No. Yeah. Good to go.
Then we, whoop, time moves forward, and you travel across, back from outside your parking spot in Coven to now back to the mortal realm. So since you know, Aoife, where the Acropolis is, everything, it takes you no time at all to get there and find a great spot to basically, you know, in the wilderness behind a nice hill, kind of park the hut, so you all can emerge ready, and you see, like, the big winding road that leads, like, from north of Phelan, you know, one of the main gates to the city, up to the Acropolis. And you can see it from where you are. You're probably, you know, half a mile away or so. It's a very impressive sight, even from this distance, perhaps more so from this distance than when you actually get inside. Because imagine, like, one of those Greek, like, hilltops, like, covered in white marble buildings and these huge, like, columns and statues that stand, you know, 20, 30 feet tall that you can see, you know, poking over the walls here. The whole thing is ringed by, like, a defensive kind of palisade, but it's certainly impressive. Anyone in the countryside around this area could see where this was. And on the road, you can see there are like a couple wagons moving back and forth, people moving to the Acropolis, but certainly not the amount of traffic you would expect, you know, in its heyday. And especially since evening is approaching, you know, and the lights of Phelan are starting to glow and flare up here, and the Acropolis itself remains dark. There don't seem to be any kind of street lights or lanterns, any of it, as the cloak of night just kind of swallows up this majestic sight here. You merge into the slow traffic you see going back and forth, and most of like the wagons or people you see, they look ragged in most of these cases. You see there are a lot of people like wearing kind of dirty robes or just like cassocks, like walking barefoot, almost like pilgrims making their way individually up into the Acropolis here. Some of the wagons that are going in have like crates maybe of supplies, like things like candles, food, rations. There are some people still obviously living up there. And since the event, right, most of the clerics and paladins associated with those gods lost their powers and they never returned. They lost their faith and abandon this place, but there are still those who are starting over, trying to reestablish these religions, trying to regain some of what was lost, still living up in that city. And as you pass through the once majestic gates of the Acropolis, you begin to see them more and more in full force. The whole thing is built kind of as a winding road up this hilltop with different levels of these temples and churches. And as you pass through the main gates, you see the worst of the destruction. Like, this is clearly where the riots began. You see most of the buildings here, shattered windows, shattered doors, things that nobody has ever bothered to fix, like graffiti that has been painted on the walls. The roads themselves are like in disrepair, like maybe there were explosives that went off, or you see like some of the statues that were pulled down, like gone. Anything that had like gilding or, you know, like any kind of that decoration you might expect on big fancy temples has been ripped away or pulled off, like been looted. You see people in the streets, beggars reaching out, you know, towards you as you pass by. Movement in the dark, long winding alleys. Not a great place as you are walking by here. Rook just is muttering under her breath this entire time, like, you know, keep your eye on your stuff. Like, what are we doing here? Why would the Tsarina send us here?
Because this won't be a place that'll be under the watchful eye of one Duchess Melwyn Tavir or any other Empire agents for that matter.
I don't know. It seems suspicious to me. This is just weird.
I mean, isn't this what you would do? Pick an unknown location where no one gives a shite?
Yeah, but not somewhere where I'm gonna, like, get murdered. And she, like, looks around, like, towards an alley, and there was, like, a shadowy figure kind of lurking there, and, like, she stares, and he, like, creeps back down behind, like, a stack of barrels. You humans and your gods. This just doesn't make any sense to me.
First of all, not a human. Second of all, the gods don't give a shit about us.
Right, mortals. Sorry. God damn, still learning.
You'll get there.
Yeah, haven't you been in stickier situations before you had us here to save you?
Oh, this. Oh, what a great love tonight. Love everything about this. Feel very appreciated. Thanks.
I'm having a great time as of now.
Cool. Okay. So, again, the plan. I'm going to, like, watch the door, right? That's the expectation.
Precisely. You are silent and strong muscle.
Great.
How old does Rook look right now?
So it's just been a couple of days. So she's probably 20, 23, 24 by now, because she was pretty close to Tony's age.
I couldn't remember. I was like, how fucking funny is this going to be if she is just like a fucking 8-year-old, like,
excuse me. No, she looks a little bit older than all of you now, but she's around the same age. She probably looks about the same age you look, Lou.
I think as we're going to, Lou is, like, trying to be, like, very discreet about it so that she's not, like, flashing anything around, but she's broken down a gold piece into copper pieces and is, like, reverse pickpocketing some of the beggars because she doesn't want people to see she's passing out money, but she's giving, like, a couple copper pieces, slipping them into their things as she passes.
Yeah, and, you know, one of these individuals, it's like a sort of a pale green-skinned Eldrin looks up at you and just gives you a toothy smile. One of them who, you know, catches you doing that and gives you, a holy sign and says, "Bless you, miss." Do you remember where you're going from the letter? Because there's lots of buildings here.
We are going to the Cathedral of the Sun is what I quickly wrote down, which I assume is the something for the mother, because isn't that her symbol?
So you're not seeing any of the religious iconography for the mother or the father here. These were all the gods that were specifically not the mother or the father. So all of their temples are in Phelan. So this was basically built as kind of a peace offering, like a cultural sign of unity to all the other citizens of the empire who don't prescribe to the main religion.
You can have it over there, not in our city, but in a city over there that's all your own.
But it's so nice, right? So you can see politics in action here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, and there are, churches and temples to other gods in Phelan itself, but this is okay, this is where you can have your grand cathedrals and your stuff, because there wasn't space allocated, you know, in our city. We didn't design with your big cathedrals in mind, right?
Just ours.
Just ours. Whoops, sorry, but here you go. Here you go. Of course, you know, now it's a shit show and hasn't been repaired since the event, but, you know, things are chaotic. Things are chaotic. Cathedral of the Sun, why don't you go ahead, Bard, dear Bard, and make me another check to see what you know about this.
Use that beautiful brain.
Hell yeah. That is another 18 for history.
It is the biggest and shiniest of all, or was, the biggest cathedral located in the Acropolis. Primarily because it was actually a place that was multifaceted, dedicated to many different gods that represented the sun. So there are tons of shrines and chapels built into this one kind of mega, cool worship light to the sun and everything. You know that the god Helios, the main kind of god that presided over all of these, but there's lots of different facets that were represented here. So you, with that in mind, you're like, yes, yes, and it was big and it was central, very center, cool. So you can wind the party safely through the ways here. And you come to the plaza where you would expect this to be. And again, would have been absolutely gorgeous in its heyday. You can see that the whole area is a flat kind of tiled, just gargantuan square that had these beautiful painted gold tiles of sun motifs laid in into white stone all along it. You can see where there are these giant wrought iron lamps that would have lit this whole place up, but now the glass is shattered and clearly the magic that powered them hasn't been restored. Now all the beautiful gardens and trees that would have been planted around the square are twisted and dead. Some of them look like they were on fire at some point, so now they're withered and black. And the gargantuan statue of Helios that would have presided over it all is still standing there, but covered in filth and graffiti, and you can see the head that would have been that radiating, beautiful, sun head has been lopped off. And just behind, beyond the statue here, you see the main hall, the cathedral, which is basically just a very long and large rectangle structure flanked by lots of these other little smaller chapels and buildings. You can see that there are some lights on inside, so you see the flickering of candlelight coming from within. The door is just open to the night.
Aoife will whip out her wand of magic missiles and she'll cast light upon it.
As your light spell glows, it flares to light so brightly and so much quicker than you would have expected it to, and its radius is actually doubled while you're within the confines of this holy ground.
Makes sense. Nice.
Little nod from Helios here as your light flares up.
Fuck, that's bright.
Bright as the sun. Oh, God, yeah.
It's like Turn down the brightness on your iPhone.
God, oh, God. What are you reading? A book? No. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it sputters a little bit and she kind of gives it a tap. Why is it? It normally works. And then it goes whoosh. And she's like, everyone's like, ah, fuck.
Jesus. God, okay. All right, Aoife, we get it. Light. So yeah,
Lou puts on her special glasses and they turn into like transitional lenses and she's like
Yeah, so you light up your way and step up to the cathedral. And the inside of this place looks better than the outside. You can see that there's like scaffolding that has been set up along some of the walls, and clearly there's been some ongoing construction effort to restore. Maybe this is where it's starting, right? If only one building in this place is getting redone, it is this one. There are a handful of people walking around here, look like priests, shaved heads, simple robes, moving about as you step inside. You know, they nod like politely to you. You can see that the whole place, like the outside, it's a very long, thin, rectangular room here, maybe about 30 feet across, 90 feet or so wide. At the very end of it, you can see just this would have been a gorgeous altar space now before. Now it looks pretty good. Clearly someone has made an effort to like clean the stone, remove the graffiti on the altar here. It lacks some of the finer details you would see, so clearly someone has still pulled down the gilding and like rubbed the statues. But there are a couple of these like basic chandeliers that are lighting the place. You see candelabras standing lighting the place. There are a couple people seated in pews that seem to have been restored and brought back in here in quiet prayer. There's not like a service or anything going on. It is nighttime. But the most beautiful and impressive thing that has remained intact are just the gorgeous stained glass windows of this place. Right behind the altar, there's just a gargantuan window depicting, you know, a rising sun and like rolling green lands and all kinds of people like traveling almost like as they're going to walk into the sun, right? It's absolutely gorgeous. And you see these like thin kind of rosette stained glass windows lining the long halls here. That at least is some beauty that seems to have survived. What are you doing?
I think Aoife would flag down one of these priests wandering the hall and immediately ask if they've seen anyone who is not a member of the clergy wandering around, someone perhaps by the name of Soren.
Oh, yeah. And so you know, tap this, it's like a dark-skinned human man kind of turns towards you and says, "Oh, greetings, child. We have all sorts who step in. The faith is not what it once was, but these are dark times. Many are interested in the Lord of Light still. I'm afraid I don't really recognize exactly Soren. That's not a name that's familiar to me, but we do have some visitors who have come from the city. May I ask what your intentions are, of course, though, before I point you towards them. Forgive me, again, times being what they are."
"Only the best of intentions, of course. No, we were sent here in order to meet with an individual who chose this as their location, so we come with respect and due deference."
"Well then, perhaps I can point you towards that individual," and he points up towards someone who is seated in prayer at like the very, very front, closest to the altar, sitting by themselves in the row. "That individual did arrive from the city a few hours ago and has been here this whole time."
"Well, we thank you for your assistance," and she'll give a quick curtsy.
"Walk in the light."
And yeah, Aoife would be like, kind of awkwardly, "And you as well." Not sure what the appropriate response would be.
"And also with you."
and peace you be with too. "You, and light be with you."
Yeah.
The worst is the movies when they're like, "Enjoy the show, you too." "Oh, fuck, you're like, working.
You too."
"I'm so
never mind.
Good luck."
God. Oh, the worst, yeah. The worst. Yeah, so you have that interaction, and that doesn't faze the individual at all. They just give you the kindly smile and kind of move about their business, and you make your way up towards the front, and you can see this person who is dressed themselves in like a simple kind of traveling robe. You can see there is a hood pulled up over their head, but you can see like the ears of, you know, it's like a periwinkle-skinned sort of eldrin person who does seem to have their head bowed.
Aoife would scamper up and go to kneel beside them upon the pews and sort of with her hands clasped in prayer position and look off to the side and would ask, "Sister, do you also walk in twilight?"
Indeed I do. It is good to see you. Are these your companions?
Yes, the three in the back over there.
Good, then. You know you may speak to me as if I were Sariel. She has given me full force to converse with all of you. Please. And she offers, like, a hand for you all to take a seat around her.
Yeah, Aoife will nod for them to come over.
Awkwardly and clunkily, with all my weapons and armor coming through the cathedral, sit down and, like, give a little minor salute as she sits.
Rook is gonna stand there and be like, I'll watch the door.
Grimace. Up,
Rook. So she, yeah, clunks back, herself also loaded with weapons. And every step, of course, it's a giant cathedral, tall ceilings, lots of stone. So echo, 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 and just can't help but just everyone know. And you know Rook hates it. You hate it, Tony. It's very uncomfortable. But she goes right outside, right back down the way, and sits, takes a seat outside the cathedral doors, just so if anybody were to enter. It does seem like this is that the only entrance and exit to this main building, so she is guarding that point there. And then this individual, who you assume to be Soren, kind of smiles quietly at you all and says, "Forgive the dismal location, but I figured if anywhere was safe to converse, it would be here. It is far away from the Eldrin Empire in many aspects."
Aye, that's what we were thinking on our way over here. Best to be as far away from prying eyes as possible.
Yes, I appreciate your discretion thus far in this matter. The Tsarina's enemies are many, within the court and without, as I'm sure you all are aware.
We come with news about a threat that faces mortal and fairy realm alike, and that a high up member of one of the fae courts by the name of Hecate, who is a part of a coven called the Weird Sisters, has come into possession of perhaps the most powerful item to exist in the known universe. And we know not yet what she plans to do with it, but truly, anything is possible.
I see. Before we go any further, I should let you all know, just in terms of honesty and forthrightness, I will know if you tell me a lie during the course of this conversation. Just basic policy, you understand. And she kind of, like, fingers a talisman that she's wearing around her neck. I do not expect you to tell me everything, but let us speak not in lies, but rather in omission when necessary.
Looking at that item, can I make an arcana check?
Sure can. Go for it.
Because that seems cool as heck.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm about to put that on my Christmas list. Damn.
For real?
Yeah.
Ooh, not great. That's only a 10.
Okay. You are like, what? What is that? You've never seen anything that looks like it, but it is safe to assume that that is a magical item, looking at it and the way she indicated to, so clearly some kind of magic item. You have heard of spells that force people to tell the truth, like within a limited range, so perhaps that this item has something like that. You would also know, I mean, it could also be a natural ability. You've heard stories like celestials sometimes can tell when you're lying. Like, that's just a thing some of them can do. So whoever the Soren is, clearly has some big magic operating there. For a moment, pause on in-game talk too. So this challenge that we're about to do, this is going to be a mechanical challenge, a social encounter here. So the rules of this, basically, I would like you all to give me, like, three objectives of this. Like, what are your goals for this conversation? I'm basically going to write these down, and over the course of, like, your discussion and stuff, that is going to affect the DC for how each of these challenges is going to be set, right? So we'll name the goals, we'll have our, like, role-playing discussion, I'll set the DC based on how well I think you've convinced me that these goals should be enacted, or you've convinced Soren, and then if you succeed on the check, cool, you will get that goal accomplished. basically the way this is going to work. So let's go ahead and name those goals. I would say I'd like 3 to 5 of these. The more you have and the more specific they are, the greater your chance of success, just based on this. So if you all want to take, if you think about this like as a debate right now, like what exactly is it that you want this arena to do? Be as specific as possible. And like, let's name that as your goal. I will write that down.
So we know that our method that we're trying to go with is trying to be a neutral party, trying to forge an allegiance, albeit probably temporary, with some of the courts who are willing to tackle Hecate and whatever her machinations are. So
exactly that, establish a temporary truce to overcome a greater evil.
So let's get more specific. What do you want the Tsarina to do for that truce? Do you want her to promise she won't attack Fae? That she won't, like, send troops here? Or, like, what specifically do you want her to do? Like, show up and have a conversation with someone? Like, specifically what she can do. Actionable goals.
I don't think that they really... I feel like it's going to be really hard to convince her to in person go and meet. I feel like if she will allow us to be correspondents for her, because I don't think that it's really fair to ask her to give us 100% faith and go put herself in a dangerous situation.
With that, though, of just entrusting us with all that power, I think if we ask either if Soren or some other someone who can act on her behalf, who she would trust, that way we can show that we're not just trying to usurp power here, we really are trying to bring people together. So if we can take an emissary for you to the Fae courts to meet with some of these sovereigns so that we can try and broker what that allegiance would look like.
And I do think adding on the no attacks, like a ceasefire while we try and establish this truce is a good step as well.
Yeah, ceasefire for until the threat is dealt with.
Ceasefire against who?
Because, yeah, if random Fae are wandering in and, you know, and dealing and messing with people, messing up the city, and people are wreaking havoc because of deals that they're making with Fae, I don't think it's fair for us to ask, like, don't deal with that problem.
Ceasefire between agreed upon courts who also on their end agree to this, because with the Fae, it will be like a deal basically on their end, I'm sure. So they can't break that within reason. You know, there's always going to be some outliers who bullshit around with words and whatever, but
I think what could be more interesting in the long run is if instead of trying to outright kill those Fae, of instead like employing whatever agents or forces to do more research gathering about them, about either the people who are making these deals with these Fae or the Fae themselves, so we can use them for interrogation purposes.
So just taking people prisoner is what you're saying?
Yes, instead of killing them.
So I heard 2 goals in there that I'm going to distill and see what I would say are an actionable goal. So one would be promise not to attack members of a specific court, like of a specific fairy court. So like if you broker an alliance with X court, you promise not to kill Y members of said court, right?
Yes.
That is one actionable goal I heard. The other one I heard was dedicate your power and wealth to researching and finding agents of the other courts is an actionable goal. Also, I guess an actionable goal would be any Fae that do not belong to X or Y courts or like people working with them should be detained for us to interrogate is what I would hear as an actionable goal.
Mm-hmm. Don't take lethal force.
Yes. And then give us an emissary to take with on diplomatic talks.
Okay, so like to meet with the Blossom Sovereign.
Yeah.
And let's make it really specific. So send an emissary to the Blossom Sovereign because you know you have that meeting coming up, right?
Yeah.
So goal 1, get her to agree to send an emissary to meet with the Blossom Court Sovereign.
That will join us in those talks too. I want to specify that we're going to be also involved in those negotiations.
And we're happy to be protection for that person. as a neutral party.
All right. So you would be like the neutral facilitators of that agreement. Okay.
Yes. Mediators.
And then two, basically agree to have a ceasefire, like recognize one of these courts or whatever it is, recognize them, and then stop the Empire from actively hunting or fighting the members of that court.
Yes.
And then number three was spend resources to investigate. Let's be more specific on what you want for that one. What kinds of people, what kinds of fey? Fey from all the other courts? All fey in general? Like, what are we looking for?
Probably on the Heavenly Court's activity.
Allocate resources to finding and investigating agents?
Yeah, of the Heavenly Court.
Are you just saying all agents or fey creatures of the Heavenly Court or mortal creatures of the Heavenly Court?
All.
Because that's a little bit harder of an ask.
I think that it's worth it in the long run if our ultimate goal overall, whether we're saying it or not, is to get them all to work along to put a stance that everyone is equal in that regard right now.
I think those are the big points. I don't think we should ask for much else if we want to get her participation.
Do you want to keep it to those three goals?
That's yeah. Four.
What is the fourth one?
Agree to give us an emissary, promise on a ceasefire for the courts of the Alliance, dedicate wealth and resources to get intel on the Heavenly Court, and to give us captured fey or mortals from the Heavenly Court to interrogate.
Turn over agents to you all, not the authority of the Empire.
And especially not the Carillons.
Well, knows where they are.
if you want to bring the Carillons into this, that's a whole other goal.
Yeah, oh man, no, I was gonna say for that maybe later. I was gonna say for a fifth goal is to receive any intel they might have on the whereabouts and doings currently of the Carillons.
Okay, so goal five would be have the Empire get information from the Carillons or investigate, watch them? What is that exactly?
Sounds like basically to know what they already know about where they are and what's going on, right?
If they find anything to share it with us, basically.
Yeah, and what they do have now as well.
Yeah. Asking if the Empire has any information on the current doings of the Carillons, since they've apparently have gone off the map. So asking if there's any information that we can have about that.
So goal would be share information about the Carillons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going with five goals. So the starting DC is going to be pretty high for five goals. And basically as you talk and like hit points and I'll assess how well I think you've convinced me of these goals, this DC number will lower from a very high number to more reasonable numbers on these. And at the end of this, I'm going to ask each of you to make an ability check with a different kind of skill for what you're bringing to this conversation. So keep that in mind.
Oh, boy.
Yep. We're all engaged here. So it would behoove us all to talk and be involved and lower our individual DCs in this challenge. We ready?
Not anymore with that last bit of info.
Let's make a deal. You all are going to have to roll something. So be engaged, be involved, and it'll go better for you. All right. So Soren, you know, let you know. Hey, she's going to know if you lie. You tell an outright lie. So she's made that clear. And this is a magical effect. So if there's anything y'all want to try and do to suppress that, now is the time.
I think we were planning on going into this truthful anyway, so.
And you will see, too, like, as you kind of all settle in for this conversation, you're not sure if it's something Soren is doing or what, but, like, you do notice that the people who were here kind of start to filter out. It's like she makes eye contact with them and they all kind of, like, drift away.
And with seeing all these individuals kind of file out that we now occupy the space, Aoife will put a very nice little gentle pat on Tony's leg and will give you a bardic inspiration that you can use over the next 10 minutes. Yay!
Thanks, Tommy.
Huzzah!
You know me too well.
All right. So Soren, opens up her hands and is like, What's the deal? Let's begin, I guess, establishing a foundation. I know very little about all of you other than what Aoife has communicated so far. Somehow you seem to have a great deal of information about the Fae and the activities that have been happening thus far. You've mentioned before this Hecate, this item she seems to have. I'm going to level with you and be frank, I know very little of these courts or really any of this. The Empire has learned frustratingly little in all of the many centuries we have warred against the Fae. They are an enemy that seems to have boundless power and disastrous implications at every turn. So, right away, I should let you know, we're coming from a position of desperation here. So we are certainly amenable to anything you can offer, within reason.
I think all of us being born and raised here in different parts of the Empire, from the Valley of Yolanthanal myself, we all came to the encampment in the Feywalk jungle with a similar mindset, all completely clueless, but it was as we were searching the Feywalk jungle for someone who had gotten lost, my dear friend Winnie, taken captive by a Fey, that we began to learn about their complexity and that it's not just a force of pure chaos, but they actually have their own sets of cultures and rules and customs. And as we had, you know, someone introduce us to the wilds proper and into a city known in the Fey Wilds as Coven, we began to see that while they are strange and completely foreign to us as mortals, they are still bound by their own sets of rules. And so, I mean, predominantly, they've got 7 courts which rule over different domains and interests, and there are neutral places where no courts have sovereignty. So it's not too dissimilar from our own duchesses and dukes ruling over their provinces.
And you there, I'm sorry, I assume you're Fotonia? She looks at you, Tony.
Yeah, that's me.
You were part of the Empire military for a time, yes?
I was, and I joined these two here when our member, Winnie, also disappeared, and I feel like in the time I've served and since then, I don't know if I've gained that much knowledge about the Fae myself, so I think this is the right move to do on all our parts to try and combine our powers and gain as much knowledge as we can together.
I would think you, probably more than anyone, understand the atrocities the Fae have leveled against the Empire and the amount of destruction they have caused. Can you tell me, then? You all speak of a society within this wilds, which of course is news to us, but why? Why do the Fae relentlessly attack us? And honestly, it cause chaos wherever they go. They slay innocent villagers, warring against our borders. What is the source of that? Perhaps understanding that will help me understand what it is you see in these creatures.
Well, I can't. You know I can't lie to you, but in the time that I was serving, I didn't feel like I needed to understand very much about them, and that they were just merciless creatures who attacked at any opportunity they could, and I didn't care to understand, but I think that's very much what they're also guilty of. You only fear the things you don't understand, you only attack the things you don't understand, and the time I have managed to spend around other Fae and my own companions here, I feel like that small amount of time has opened up my mind to so many other ways that the Fae have been able to contribute to my life and the lives of the people around them, and there's a lot more we could have gained by understanding them sooner, but we keep each other at such arm's length that if we could continue doing things the way we're doing now, the fighting is never going to stop.
I think, too, we're in a perfect place to be having this conversation about ruthless killing and destruction. Look around us. We're in a place that was torn down by mortal kind because of fear, because of a struggle for needing to have power. I don't think that they feel much different from that.
So as a check-in note, I'm going to say I've lowered the DC now of the send emissary to meet with the Sovereign Court DC, because you are definitely intriguing the fact that a conversation should be had. So that DC for that goal specifically has been lowered. And she does. She's taking all of this in and thinking, well, I certainly would say that it would behoove both of us to gain a greater understanding of what each other wants. From my perspective, we do not know the length and the power of the Fae, their reach. They do seem to know more about us than we know about them. We have found their agents within our borders. They have nefarious magic, sowing these strange artifacts that can corrupt and twist the minds of our people. So I wonder why they would even wish to reach out to us. What do they hope to gain from an alliance? They seem to have the upper hand. Be quite frank, we are losing this war.
Well, and I think the thing is we're never going to win a war. Because if you slay a Fae on mortal soil, it's just going to go right back to the wilds. It won't be truly defeated unless you defeat it in the wilds. And that's not territory that we're going to be able to claim or to really fare into. But since of the disappearance of the gods of their forsaken us, the Fae are trying to fill a vacuum. And it's not every Fae, and it's not every court. We have known one court in particular, the Slytherin Court, of things unseen, of things that lurk in the shadows, of worms and vermin. They have an interest, certainly, most specifically, in the affairs of mortal kind. They find us kind of amusing agents. But a few courts are more just willing to stick to their own principles, like Forest Court being the domain of animals and forestry, and the Blossoming Court being of flora. Those are the courts that we seek to forge an alliance with, because they don't care necessarily for meddling in mortal affairs for their own amusement or gain.
So these courts don't work in tandem with one another. They are at odds.
Some hate each other. Some hate each other. Some like each other. Most are a polite disinterest.
So then, in this process, it sounds like we wouldn't be approaching all of them. You have specific courts in mind that you are allied with?
We have an invitation to meet a sovereign of the Blossom Court.
A sovereign? What is that? Like a king?
Like a Tsarina.
There's like a curl to her lips that goes like very flat. Like she just suppressed the emotion immediately, as soon as she was amused by it.
And it is something to note that since these courts don't all get along, the fact that this ruler from the Heavenly Court has this powerful artifact, many are not going to like that and not want her to have that power.
You have mentioned this Heavenly Court several times. Tell me more about them. What do they want?
Out of character, we haven't dealt with the Heavenly Court at all. Like, would we have any idea?
I mean, at this point, it just seems like they want power.
Yeah, you don't really know 100%, because, like, you've kind of pieced together now, gotten enough clues that clearly the Weird Sisters are part of the Heavenly Court. You might even have evidence to suggest Hecate is the sovereign of the Heavenly Court, because the way she was able to rip open a portal in the middle of another court's realm. So that's like clues you can start putting together here. But you haven't met any other agents of the Heavenly Court that you know of so far. And it is weird that, like, she's opening up these portals, she got this book, like, you don't really know what she wants. But it probably is not good. You've been able to suss that.
Accurate.
I don't think she's planning a dinner party with that book, I gotta say. From what we can tell at this point, all we know is just that collected an artifact that will give her power beyond what many Fae have ever had before. And if I were her, and I don't know if this is the case, but in that situation, if I'm trying to amass power like that, you know, here on the plains, on our continent, we have you, and we have the Serena, and you know, I think that to combine all of them with that ultimate power, that would probably be my goal if I had that kind of craving.
And this heavenly court doing this, you think the other courts would not want this to happen?
I don't believe so. I mean, like we'd said, every court has their own culture. I don't think that anybody wants their own culture smashed into submission by anybody else.
You all have successfully lowered the DC for the allocate to finding and investigating agents of the Heavenly Court. DC, you've made a pretty good case that you don't know what she wants, but it would be really good to know.
It would behoove us to understand. And just Aoife would add, it's much like in the way the Empire would be very interested in understanding if all of the sudden all of the elves in the valley suddenly started arming themselves. The Empire would have a vested interest to learn in why. And this is not dissimilar from that situation.
Indeed. So, from here, I suppose, what is your plan? How do we open this conversation? How do we establish a bridge between people we know nothing about? And again, I should mention, this is not going to be easy on either side. There has been so much bloodshed. I don't think the citizens of the Empire would readily welcome a free exchange here. There are certainly those within the Tsarina's own court who, if they knew this conversation was happening, would call it treason. So what do you propose? How do we build this bridge?
Well, I think our first step is to take an emissary to speak with the Blossom Court Sovereign. Because we know that Hecate has been able to open up portals into other realms, into other sovereign realms, into the mortal realm. And I think that first step of seeing that we have a common enemy and trying to understand those motives will be the best way in order to help turn people towards the light. Understanding that we have something that we can work against, which is a very powerful motivating factor, is given something, a specific target where people can point a sword at.
So you think if we build a relationship with this Blossom Court, that they would help defend the Empire against this Heavenly Court? You think they would be motivated enough on their side? And she doesn't seem to have great deal of confidence in that statement as she sort of asks it to you.
I think at the very least, they are happy to fight against somebody who is also an enemy of theirs. And in the meantime, if we fight together and we don't have any particular agreement as to what would happen after, then I think that there's a chance that through that kind of aid and companionship towards that greater evil could eventually lead to a truce, at least with the courts that we work with, is my hope. Because with the time that we've spent there, like Tony said, we were all with the army standing to protect the realms from an invasion. And we've met some Fae who have been nothing but warm and kind to us with no nefarious means. It's just like with humans and elves and everybody else. There's always going to be some, excuse me, downright shitty people. But I think that if we start to break bread together and actually try to speak instead of just fight, there's always a chance that we'll have a positive outcome for the future.
I'm going to say the DC for the ceasefire against a specific court has been lowered. You were talking her into the benefits of having a mutual understanding, at least for now. Enemy of my enemy is my friend. All right, so and she continues to kind of take this in here. Well, it seems you all have lofty goals and a great deal of information. I understand very little about how you have come by this information, and I understand why you might not wish to share it. So you may keep some of your secrets, but you have to understand that we are taking an enormous risk placing our trust in you all. So why should I trust you? Why are you the people to forge this alliance?
Tony.
I was really hoping you wouldn't be looking at me.
Girl, we always looking at you.
I am trying to make a really big wrong right, and my companions here have been loyal and brave enough to help me. They're putting themselves at risk, and I know it's gonna be a very difficult thing for all of us to accomplish, but we've only been able to get as far as we have in the mess that I've created because of working together and trusting each other. And now we just need to get our team a little bit larger to solve a greater problem. And I wish I could do this alone. I don't want to be putting anyone in danger. I've almost tried to push people away, but I fell into their trap, and it's going to cause so much more harm if I don't try to fix it with the people who I know have the resources, who have the power, who also have a lot to lose, basically. I don't want to run away from this, and I'm...
May I ask, and let me know if this is something you are unwilling to share, but you speak of this mess, of this great weight, of this mistake you made. What was it? What did you do?
Yeah, I was sort of seduced by one of those weird sisters. In my sleep, I had never really encountered a situation like that before. I didn't really know what I was doing. And I accepted a gift from them, and it was a very large gift. It led me to really something incredible, but there was a cost for that gift, and now everyone else has to pay for it, and that's my mess.
How exactly were all of you dragged into this? It feels like a relatively personal thing, she says, and kind of looks at you, Lou, and Aoife, and she seemed genuinely curious at this point.
Because it's the right thing to help good people. Tony is an excellent person, and like she said, it was new territory for her. She didn't know what was happening. She's not at fault, and I can't just let somebody suffer something alone when nobody deserves to have to go through something like that by themselves. It's something that I feel capable of helping with. And even now, we've already made headway in figuring out a way for her to get out of this mess so that she can be nothing but the steadfast support that she's always been for our team. And we fully are going to be leaving this meeting and pursuing that. And hopefully, we can all celebrate and then move on with the bigger task at hand together.
I see. It's clear you all care for one another, and this is rooted in something, but I, specifically, how did these creatures target you? What was it about you that made you so remarkable? You said you were on the border, and you were part of an encampment, and then how did you just stumble across all of this knowledge? Forgive me for seeing incredulous, but this, it's too remarkable to pass up.
Well, it's not as though as if it's been just an afternoon. This has been over the past 3 months, some odd time of learning about all of this, about...
And you have survived speaking to the Fae and stepping into the wilds and all of this for months?
And also, time does not exist in the wilds. So it gives us even more of an opportunity to experience more, because we're not just merely beholden by the physical rules of our realm. And yes, we have survived. It's been in part to our silent and steady hired muscle, as she kind of throws a thumb back to Rook.
You hear a grunt.
Yeah. As someone who has been an incredible ally who has sort of helped to introduce us to the world and help us not get immediately killed. You know, there are times where we've come close. But what we've learned is that the Fae can be incredibly insidious and tricky, as they are known to be, in approach and in dreams. And I think because all of us have such strong personalities, principles, and desires for things that we want to accomplish in life, I think the Fae are drawn to that. Because they want a taste of that power. They want to understand and manipulate motivations. I think that's sort of something that they thrive on. And so I think that's how, at least part of how we've gotten swept into all of this.
Swept in, and I think it's important to note on the survival end that the reason we feel so strongly about at least trying to make some sort of truce is because while there's been those interactions with those insidious and nefarious Fae, there's also been some with people of Fae kind who have been nothing but kind and generous and welcoming to us without asking for any kind of favor.
I forgive me. It's remarkable to hear that all of you have survived, and not only that, but thrived in this world that has slain hundreds of my people, our people, she says, and it's unraveling.
Lou kind of gets a little twinkle in her eye, and she smirks.
And we've sent scholars and some of the best warriors we can offer, and Corellans, who have not been able to survive in this world, but the three of you have, somehow.
I think that
it is truly remarkable.
There's something important in going into the unknown without a fully clenched fist. If you're looking for a fight, you're always going to find one.
And she just sighs and sort of looks up at the big stained glass windows. Well, I am certainly impressed by what you all have laid out. But, as I've said, Vesarina is in a difficult position with all of this, so anything in her power to do must be done discreetly and, as you have suggested, through a medium, through others. So what do you propose? Where do we go from here? Exactly what do you ask of her?
I think to start, we have a little bit of work, as I said, to deal with before, but number one is we already have an opening to go speak to the Blossom Court, which I think from the very limited interaction we've had seems to be the most similar to Eldrin Society and is the best place to start as is. Having somebody come with us to have that open communication and to see, just to get a taste to be the beginning of maybe opening negotiation would be excellent. Because we don't crave to be these all-powerful people in this arrangement. We just hope to be people who have a hand in brokering peace, if even for now.
All right. I'll say your DC has lowered again for the emissary to meet with the Sovereign Court. It's also lowered again on the ceasefire against a specific court after this alliance. Those things you have sold really well to her. So as we move into asking the next phase here, keep in mind you haven't lowered the DC at all. You haven't mentioned the Corellans. And then turnover agents for you all to deal with, that actually did lower. Because you all clearly have some kind of weird power with the Fae that is very impressive to her. So that DC that DC has lowered by one. Emissary and ceasefire have gone down by two. Allocate to finding resources against the Heaven Court, basically, and send agents to you have only been lowered by one. Corellans has not been lowered at all. All right. I think that is a wise step of this proposal. First, to send an emissary, open the conversation. But where would we go from there?
So once we can understand the terms of an agreement, I think the next thing in that we must work towards is understanding what it is that Hecate and the Weird Sisters are exactly hoping to do. Right now, all of our information around that is very little. And so if on the mortal side, while we would appreciate it if you all find anyone associated with the Heavenly Court, be they mortals or fae, of detaining them, and while we travel back and forth and are working in the wilds, we will do our own reconnaissance, but we need to understand what the plan is so that we can learn how to disrupt it. I think working from both ends in both the mortal and the fae realms will help us accomplish that faster. And if you do find any agents of the Heavenly Court, we can interrogate them, because, as I said earlier, killing a fae in the mortal realm is not going to do shit. All it's going to do is keep us from accessing information that we desperately need. And as you say, the Empire is desperate for information.
And with our knowledge that we have of the fae, too, I feel that we will be the best people to pose an interrogation. One, not only because of what we know and what seems to work and to appeal to them, but we will not be easily tricked into some kind of pact or any kind of sneaky tomfoolery, if you will, that they've been known to bring over here.
I think that is a very good point, and that is going to lower turnover agents to you all by two steps.
Also, I think it would be a smart move to try and get some sort of lead on what's going on with the Corellans at the moment. I know that they operate very much as their own sort of agency, so perhaps your knowledge is limited, but I think it would be a good idea to send out some investigators to figure out what they're planning next, where they've disappeared to, if there are any like rumblings about the Corellans' whereabouts at the moment, because if they're going off and fighting Fae without our knowledge, it could interrupt our plans and our ability to keep that ceasefire, make that even possible. They could derail all these plans if we don't know what they're up to.
Especially from the viewpoint of, before we started talking to you, you just viewed them as the Fae. If mortals start attacking them, then they will just say the mortals aren't being true to their word. I think that we just need to have an understanding and to do what we can, even though they are their own group, to try to get them on board is difficult. I feel like even more difficult than it would be to get the Empire to help. I think that having them join us in this understanding that we hope to achieve would be just so powerful on everybody's end, to finally have a unifying force between everyone against what the real issue is, evil motherfuckers.
So you seem to imply that the Corellan Order is not interested in what the Empire is interested in, that they might actually form a barrier towards brokering this alliance?
And Aoife will pull out the unencrypted letter from her father that states about Saye Noor going missing, one of these high-up Krellins. And so she will offer that as a piece of evidence to Soren to be like...
That rattles her, obviously. When she reads that and she sees Saye's name, this woman clearly recognizes that name. You all don't, but she seems actually genuinely concerned, like, when this happens. Speaking back to early campaign, they were good buds. You all work together. Nice. She knows Saye very well. That's very upsetting.
So I think Aoife would immediately pick up on that reaction and would lean on that and would say, we know not every Karelin is out for blood, but I think of what we know of the Order in general, it's that they take a shoot first and ask questions later policy. And we have had our own run-in with a Karelin named Whistler, who personally threatened me and my life for Haven Fae ancestry. And while there are people in that order wandering around into the world, they stand as a threat against any sort of understanding that we might actually be able to accomplish. And if these Karelins, these high-up, powerful people, are going missing, we need to know why. Because if they can go missing, if they could be lost in action, then that is an even bigger problem than we even thought it was.
Yeah, so I would say just mechanically, even just here, between mentioning Saye, great fucking idea, and your argument for that so far, you've knocked this down by three stages already. That was very effective thus far.
Hell yes, Sage.
For that goal, for, yeah, the Karelins.
Not only that, but... You know, even if not all of them are missing and it's just some that are wandering about, we don't know. What we have experienced is that in our own travels, a fae creature was turned on us by this Karelin Whistler through use of one of his bells. So having those kind of attacks that are caused by mortals is just more fuel to the fire of... this whole conspiracy that it's going to be impossible to bring the two of us together.
Yeah, she seems to be nodding. Yeah, she's listening, and yeah, you're getting to her for sure.
God, I love truth spells because they make me so...
so powerful.
Because right? Everything I'm saying
I feel true. Better when I'm in a zone of truth. I don't know what it is. I feel freer.
The weight is lifted.
Cool. All right. So I think we've lowered some of these. I'm going to do one step down across the board because that was just so effective. You're really getting to her. Okay. So currently right now you've lowered the Karelins by three steps, that goal. Share information about the Karelins. You've lowered the send emissary now by three steps. You've lowered the ceasefire against a court now by three steps. Allocate defining and investigating is only done by two steps. Oh no, that's three now. Okay, you're doing great across the board. And the turn agents, so they've all been lowered by three steps now.
Guys, I wish I could high five y'all so hard that it hurts right now.
Yeah, look at this social encounter. Look at the skills. All right. Okay, so you've laid out the plan so far. You've told her you need the emissary. You've told her. You haven't actually specifically said the ceasefire, but that's been pretty implied. You have told her you want her to look into the agents of the court and turn them over to deal with you. And you've talked about the Karelins, pretty much. So you've pretty much hit the nail on the head. Yeah, so what is your closing statements here on this conversation? Then we're going to make some checks.
I think, too, you know, obviously we start at step one and we see what happens. You know, it's not practical to throw money and resources at something that may not even be something that happens. But if the time comes that we do make this alliance, I mean, we're just four women. We're just mercenaries who wound up in this thing and want to do what's right. We don't have the funds to back some big advance that will help us. Everyone to get to a better place. We would need financial support resources in order to actually make this into something that will matter.
Well, I think a conversation certainly needs to be had. And there are agents I trust with my life. And she just smiles. It's gone. We all know here who you're talking to. I will send one of them with you to speak with this Blossom Sovereign, at the very least. But now, we make rolls to see if there's more. She's going. So all of you tell me, what is the skill you would like to use? So some of you have brought examples of stories. Some of you have brought information. Some of you have obviously just been outright persuasive. Some of you have called on your connection to the military. Like, we can be a little bit creative. What is the skill here that you think you've realistically brought to the table that has helped?
Obviously, Aoife going for building the arguments, making the arguments, using, you know, evidence that we've collected. She's going hard for persuasion.
Yep. What are you going with, Flu? I would say, the skill investigation would actually work really well here. You've made a lot of inferences and put logical information together and X to Y.
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't know if you were going to make that insight. But if I can use investigation, then I'm very good at that, and I will take it.
Insight would also work really well here. I don't know, Tony, what your deal is.
I was leaning between insight or survival, just from the things that she's learned since leaving.
Practical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The things they've experienced.
Yeah, I think either of those would be great. We're setting this now. We're all going to make a series of rolls here. So, all right. So Aoife is going with persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to roll, right? We have 5 rolls here.
I have advantage because she's a neutral or amiable party. So I have advantage on my charisma checks against her.
Oh.
Because of my heroic destiny features.
I'm a celebrity, bitch. Okay. And then Lou is investigation. And then Tony is going with, which one are you going with? Survival?
Let's go with survival.
Let's roll for that first goal, kids.
26.
26. You are good, Aoife.
17.
12.
All right, but 2 out of 3 of you did good. So I'm going to tally this all up at the end. Total checks and fails. All right, goal 2. Let's roll again.
All right, this time I'm going to use my inspiration.
26 again. We got those blessed 19s.
22.
16.
Scraping by, but that's a pass.
Oof, okay.
Luckily, you lowered the DC. The DC started at 30, everyone, for each of these goals.
That's gross.
You lowered it significantly. It was reduced by 5 every time you made a good point. Let's start again.
16.
All right. We're going to use our bardic inspiration this time.
That's a 14 for me.
I didn't make it. I got a 14.
Next one. Let's go.
26.
Jesus. That 19. That dice, love it.
Tony got a 17.
Dirty 20.
Okay, that is good across the board. All right, goal 5.
Okay, I'm going to use my inspiration on this one that I have saved.
25.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Natural 20 for 28.
Yes!
All right.
21 for me.
Okay, cool.
Hell yeah.
Nice, nice. Okay, pretty good about across the board. So you got 12 out of 15. So what that means is that 4 of your goals succeed and 1 does not. Pick one of the 5 that you will not be able to get. You will not be able to support you on that.
Handing over agents? My vote would be for handing over agents. I feel like that's the one that we can afford to lose.
Yeah, we can find our own. I mean, I am still worried that, like, people are going to go into it to get information and end up, in their hand. But, I feel like, yeah, you're right. That's really the only one that we can do without.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. My vote was either that or for the Corellans. But after her deep reaction to the Corellan news, maybe we want that instead.
She clearly knows something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so you all, you say that closing kind of Lou, you make that case, and there's like a moment of silence, right? As she seems to be taking it all in. We will start by sending an emissary with you to speak to this Blossom Sovereign. And of course, as you have suggested, if discussions go well, we can form an alliance with them. We can, if for only a short while, a ceasefire between their people and ours. As we try and figure this out and learn to work together. I can even share a little bit more about what has happened with the Corellian Order, and I do think it behooves us to get more intelligence on what the Heavenly Court is doing. But with the position I'm in, my resources are limited. There are enemies everywhere. I cannot realistically promise to hand over individuals that we capture to all of you. It is just not within my power at this time. I fear that would be a step too far in raising suspicions against what we're trying to do.
Thank you for providing all the assistance you can.
And thank you for coming to meet us face to face. I know that it's not easy.
Indeed. Getting away is harder and harder each year, it seems. But it is nice to know there are still friendly faces out there. Thank you all. I will be in touch soon with the name of this emissary, and we shall... And she pauses, almost like she heard something, but none of you hear it. And then, 30 seconds later, the ground just rumbles just a little bit, and you hear, a slamming sound that comes from the front doors of this cathedral as, the heavy, ancient, wooden doors are, slammed shut, and the sound of, a very heavy bolt is drawn, from the outside, as somebody seems to have locked and barricaded the door. And then there's a sound of shattering that comes from, the front big window over the altar here. And with that, as the wind, pulls in through the shattered windows, all of the candles in here go out, leaving just Aoife's light on the wand, the only source in this otherwise totally dark room. And against, the moonlight now of this totally broken room, you can see the shards of this stained glass start kind of spinning and floating in the air as they swirl together to form a shape. That seems like a good place to end part one. So we're gonna take a little break, and we'll be back for part two in a little bit, gang. But stick with us. Thank you all so much for being here. We'll be back next time with part two for each and every one of you. So let's just do some cash intros or outros just because we are going to split this up into two videos. So thanks so much, everybody, for joining us for part one. Can't wait to see you in a bit. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I've played Luveri Sath, your Drow Rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim, and I've been your Half-Orc Fighter, Tony Silvertail.
Ugh, and I'm Sage, your deal-broken bard, Aoife Flannery.
Woo, 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 woo. All right, folks. Well, if you're watching it live, sorry you gotta wait 2 weeks. But everybody else, if you're listening or whatever, we'll see you in just a little bit. Be right back.